Okay. God is good. All the time. It is a pleasure to be 2 weeks that I was in the jungle. And so I wanted to give you kind of an update on what transpired over those 10 days that we were in Ecuador. We landed in Quito about 2:30 in the morning and went to the hotel to get some sleep for about 4 hours. We got up and headed to Puyo, P-U-Y-O, then which was about a five-hour car ride from Quito to the Puyo. And we were prepared. When we got there, we had the took the supplies that we had bought. We brought, we had one, two, three, four suitcases full of stuff that we were taking to the villages that we were going to visit. We had a 2 hour flight to Bomeno, which is about a couple miles from the Peruvian border, which is in the eastern part of Ecuador. And we were met by the chief, Pinta, who is was over the village that we were going to. And we were also met by the man that we had given a wheelchair to a year and a half ago. We had sent it down to him, and he was there to meet us. He was a guy that had been affected by polio, and he could not walk very far. I mean, he could walk a little bit, but most of the time they just carried him. And so we had sent this wheelchair down for his use. Now, this is an interesting story because Pinta, the chief, was anti-Christian, and he didn't want to have anything to do with God or with Jesus Christ. And so there's been a group of people that Karen has known that have been praying for him ever since he was up here for Urbana 18, where I had the opportunity to meet him. And I want you to know, this time he asked for a Bible, and Karen had brought a Rwani translation of the complete Bible. And so we gave it to him, and he started reading it. So we're believing when we go back that God will have softened his heart and we will be able to evangelize the whole river that we were on. Bomeno is a village of about 50 families, and counting all the kids, there's a bunch of kids down there too. Some are running around, and they are the children in Ecuador in the jungle are rather shy when you come in contact with them. But after you've been there for a little bit, they will warm up to you, and you can kind of play with them and things like that. When I talk about the monkey, how the kids were playing with this little monkey, and of course Bob got to play with the monkey too. So everyone loves a group photo, and so everybody gathered together, and I mean, you know, it was like a great big family reunion, and so we got a photo of it. If I got that photo up there, because I had the photos lined up in the way I was going to talk, but, you know, it didn't work. So anyway, some of the things I'm going to say, you'll say, why is he saying a group photo? I don't know why he's saying a group photo, but it's on my notes, and I got to stick to my notes. Okay. I had an opportunity to sit with the wife of the guy in the wheelchair, Now, she is reported to be 102 years old. And, I mean, her ears, over the course of her life, they're hanging down, and you could stick your fingers through these holes and still have plenty of room that her ears were in. So she was she's an attractive for a 102-year-old woman. On Friday, we went down the river, and everything is on the river that we did. We went down river for about an hour and a half, and, you know, this isn't one of these Viking river cruises. This is in a canoe and very uncomfortable to set, and they got a board across the width of this canoe, and that's what you set on. Anyway, we get down there. Now, in July, Ecuador had a lot of rain, and you could see where the water level on the river had come up and had washed the trees away and things like that, and so the bank was muddy. I mean, you know, a little bit of mud is not bad. I mean, you expect that on the river. But this mud was like, it looked so pretty, and then when you stepped on it, you sank down into it to boot top. So anyway, we went down to see where a herd of parrots, but anyway, there's a whole bunch of them that fed on this salt water. They'd come down and drink the salt water. They needed some minerals or something like that. Anyway, so we've got on red shirts, come to the rainforest shirts, and we're going through, tromping through the jungle, and I'm thinking, man, do I really want to see parrots this bad? And we continued on, and we finally got to this, like a duck blind, really. They had built a blind that you could sit in, and they had black plastic sheets, and it had little holes cut in it. And so we sat there. And I can imagine what a duck hunter does in a duck blind. I mean, they got to keep quiet. And we kept quiet, and we had some cookies to eat and stuff like that. We never did see any parrots. And the Pente said, well, the reason we didn't see any parrots because everybody had red shirts on, and the parrots can see red, and so they wouldn't light. And so that was it. When we got back to the village, we set up a wellness clinic. Now, I got to clarify that. A wellness clinic is a place where you pass out aspirin and antibiotics and different pills of the things that the people have. One of the prominent things in the rainforest, because they drink river water, is a lot of them get worms. And if you look at the dogs that are running around these villages, they're just skinny, no food, and they have worms. That's what Karen tells me. So you dog people, you probably know that kind of stuff. But as cat people, you don't have to worry about a cat. Anyway, so we pass these pills out for whatever ailment you had, and it went good. Now, the reason we call it a wellness clinic is because we don't have a nurse, a registered nurse, or a doctor with us, because then we could have a medical clinic. And so the terminology is real important because they don't want us, the government of Ecuador, do not want you taking medicines and supplies into the rainforest, because if it was their way, there wouldn't be anybody in the rainforest. And they'd have a lot of oil wells coming up and getting the oil out of the ground. While we were doing a clinic, a family had come back from hunting. And it was odd that he had taken this dead monkey and tied the tail and the leg together, and he was holding it like that. And he was they were going to have it for supper, I guess. I mean, you know, I'd prefer Kentucky Fried Chicken myself, but monkey is just as good as anything. Anyway, this was a mother monkey who had a rather young baby, and the little baby was only about that big, and they gave it to the kids to play with, and their kids, how can I say this? The kids are not gentle with animals. And they'd pull it, they had had another monkey, and they'd pull it around and everything else and just kind of mistreat it. And I'd yell at them, and they'd stop, and then the next minute they would start up again. So anyway, we were sitting on this patio light, well, not a patio, but a porch of one of the houses, and I got to sit there, and they had the monkeys there, and so I got to hold the two monkeys, and it was so cute. And this time, it didn't do its thing on me, so which was the last time. So anyway, we got the they played with the monkey, and and I got to hold it. The next day, we went down the river to see an anaconda. Now, if you've seen that movie, Anaconda, that's that great big snake. And Pinte, the chief, has petted. When an anaconda eats and it crawls into a nice sunny place where it can just sun itself and it goes to sleep while it's digesting food. And Pinte would go up and pet it. Well, guess what? Since I am always looking for an adventure, I figured if we found the anaconda, I was going to pet it too and get a picture of that. I mean, you know, what can I say? Anyway, we didn't see the anaconda. But we had this time, you know, when we went to see the parrots, it was a hard walk, but it wasn't that bad. But this time, we were walking through the jungle. It was hot. It was humid. And I only had so much water in my jug. And we were going down into this valley. And it was like a pond. And that was where the anaconda was supposed to be. And so we got in a canoe, a little canoe, but with a paddle. And we paddled around looking for it. And then, since we didn't find it, they started transporting the canoe across this marsh. I mean, the water was only up to your calf on your leg. And they started pushing. Now, they let me stay in the boat while they were pushing it. Finally, I had to get out because it got to dry land. And these are long canoes. And so we got down to the riverbank to pick up the motorboat we had. And we sunk into the mud. And I mean, Karen almost lost her boot because it was sucked in. And I had gotten down, and my friend, who I had met the last time, Mozik, was helping me. And so he got me out, and I got back in the boat, and I said, I'm not leaving the boat again. But anyway, so we took off and went back. In the next morning, we headed upriver again, and we had planned on seeing six villages: Bonmetto, which was the main village, and then villages up the river. So we went up the river and visited two villages, and we're passing out water filters. Now, if you take a bucket the size of they got at Home Depot or Lowell's or something like that, but they're clear, and they drill holes in them, and they put a spigot in one bucket, and then they put a hole through the bottom of the other bucket where they put the filter, and they fill the top bucket up with water, and it drains down into the bottom bucket and makes it clear. If we had some pictures, you could see the difference between the water. The top bucket has the muddy water in it, and then the bottom bucket has clear water, and that's what you drink. And the reason we take the filters down, because most families drink out of the river. and it's not very good. So that was the filters. This is a Illumina Aid light, and it is solar powered. You put it out during the day and let the sun beat on it, and then at night you can put it in your tent or in your hut, and it gives you a nice light. Now, the advantage of this is that at night it is pitch black, and you can't see anything in your hut. And with this little light, you can see if there's any snakes on the ground when you get out of the hammock. And it has three different settings for lights. And then it has a flashing light. So the older people, if they have a problem, they can turn it on to the flashing, and that'll get somebody's attention. And so these are what we handed out. So the filters and the lights are the two things that we handed out. We got to go to these different villages, and we did the wellness clinic and the passing out the filters and the Illuminols, and everybody was pleased to get that. Now, some of the villages, I think I told you the last time I was there, we had a village of two brothers and their wives and their kids. And so some of the villages just had two families represented, or three families, because, I don't know, I guess they don't like company. So anyway, they let us pass out the stuff, and we had some of the places, we had the food and things like that. Let me tell you about the food. Now, we have got a real nice presentation back there on the table that is pineapple and mango. That's good stuff in the jungle. But we've had fish, we've had chicken, tough chicken, because, I mean, they don't want to kill the young chickens, you know, that would be tender, because they're still laying eggs. But they get the old chickens, and an old chicken is awful tough. So anyway, we had chicken, we had rice. That was one of the main vegetables, or not carbohydrates, that we had. Then we had plantain, which is like a banana, only it's no good. And we had not yucca, yucca. There's a difference between the yucca plants that we have here and in the United States and the yucca plants they have down there. And they take it and they take the stem that all the leaves come off of and skin it down, and then they cook that. And that's not too good either. But there is a bright side. They raise pineapples down there, right there in their front yard. And so we had pineapple a couple of times, and there isn't anything better than a fresh pineapple cut off the vine or off the plant and cut up and ate. The second thing was we had mangoes that they picked off the tree. There's a tree down there that has these little pods. It looks like the pods that are on a sweet gum tree. But anyway, they break it open, and the inside are these seeds that are red. And so they take the seeds and mash them and then put the painter face. So it was interesting. So we got out of the river after a six-hour boat ride, and then we had this five-hour boat ride, our car van ride back to the Pulu to get back. The next day we visited a flight school and down there in Shell, which is the main airport in that area, and that's the where the missionaries that were killed down there originally flew out of. It was a oil exploration airfield in the 40s, and they abandoned it, and so now there's a military base there for jungle fighters, and several aviation companies in the school. So they gave us a ride, the three of us, Carlos, Karen, and I, they gave us a ride around Pulu in the airplane. And I got to land it. Rich, I got to land it. Baby, oh, that inspired me. And when I got home, I said, Jan. She says, what? I said, I'm going to renew my pilot's license. And she looked at me in her kind of evil eye and said, where do you plan on living when I divorce you? So no renewal. So I move on. They had a reception for us at the at Carlos' house, and we had a bunch of people that had come in. Now, the main people that we deal with in the jungle is the Rwani, but this is another group of people that are there that we've visited one time. But anyway, we got it. They had these people come in, and that's where I got this, and Jan's got a necklace that they gave to us, and this is what the chief would wear on a dress occasion. Normally, they don't dress up real fancy, but this was what they'd wear when they come into Pulu. I wanted to say some stuff about Karen and what else she does down there besides the filters and the lights. These women, I mean, they sit around all day and talk and do crafts. And crafts, they went to, that's the only way they got money, to buy things that they need, because the men certainly don't work. They do the hunting and stuff like that. Ah, there it is. Yeah. Anyway, Karen goes, thank you guys. You're great. Give them a hand. Karen, instead of just handing out money, she buys all this crafts. And that way they feel like it's not a handout. And I mean, we took 6 suitcases down, and we brought 6 suitcases back with a long tube that had a spear and 3 blowguns in. And this one village, the guy, we bought some carvings from him, and he had a boat paddle. It was handmade. And Karen, just as we were leaving, she says, will you sell the boat paddle? And I mean, it took him about 30 seconds. He says, see. So she bought this boat paddle, and so we had that, and she brought that home with her when she came. So God is good, and it is really a blessing. One of the places we went was a city called Tuna, or a village called Tuna. We had been there before. Incidentally, if any of you want to get a good getaway vacation, Tuna is the place to go. They've got electric, they've got internet, and you bring your own sleeping bag, but other than that, and you eat good food. Fish, rice, plantain. Yeah, good stuff. And we had a celebration. We had a, they were dedicating a community building, and it was really an elaborate building. I mean, it was a concrete floor with posts, and it was a traditional, had the leaves on that are the plant leaves from the palm lamp branches, and there were about 75 people came to dedicate this thing. The mayor of the region was supposed to come, but he didn't show up. And Roberto, who is the chief of the village, really a great guy. And like most dedications, we had speeches, We had dancers. We had food. And we had a drink that is kind of a fermented stuff. Now, I'm not going to tell you how they make it because we've got lunch coming up. And some people might lose their appetite. Thank you. And so anyway, they've got this big circle. Everybody's sitting in a circle around the edge. And so these ladies, they've got a big tub that they get a bowl and they dip it in there and get this stuff out. And then they come around and everybody drinks it. And I mean, you're expected to drink it because you don't want to offend anybody. And after you get a sip of it, she takes her thumb and finger and wipes the rim of the bowl. Well, the first drink is kind of hard to get down. Second drink, it's not as bad. And by the fourth time, I was ready, baby. I was ready to drink. And so it was interesting. So we got back, and unfortunately, let's see, there I am, drinking. We got back, and my time's getting short, so I want to finish up. We had to get a COVID test before we boarded the airplane that night. And so we went and got the COVID test. And mine was negative. And so I was in good shape. I was flying out. Karen's came back positive. So she couldn't fly out. And so she was down there an extra week because of the COVID positive test. And then she got a test, and a week later she came home, and met her at the airport. We're going back in January 19th, 2022. Next year. And so you can go online, all one word, cometotherainforest.org. cometotherainforest.org, and communicate with Karen. She's in charge of it. And it'd be nice to have everybody come down there and we could all get in our canoes and run up and down the river and have a great time. And maybe we could find the anaconda this time. But anyway, Cheryl has set up a tasting thing of Taste of the Jungle with pineapple and mango. I didn't know where you could get yakka and cook that. But anyway, for all the kids, I brought little parrots home to you. So you can have a pet parrot. And any adults, if you really want one, you can have one too. Because I got a whole bunch of them back there. So I thank you for your prayers and for your support. And Jan did really well while I was gone. And so that kind of tells me that the next time I go, I can go for about a month. Right, honey? Yes, Ed?
Yeah, right down as a Christian, what faith or religion do they practice in the area you were at? What were they?
They weren't anything.
They weren't anything.
No. Now there is a village that is a Christian village, and they have Sunday service every Sunday. And I wanted to go back there, but we've got another plan. Or Karen had another plan. So basically, there are Christians that the missionaries have that over the years since 54 have come in, but a lot of those have died off, and now we got a younger generation that had come up, and they haven't heard. Nobody wants to go to the jungle, I guess. So anyway, so bless you, thank you, and thank you, Rich, for the time.
I have a message that I've prepared for 2 weeks, knowing that Bob was going to be sharing this morning, and also knowing that he tends to go long. So let me get this right, Bob. You went to the jungle, you got stuck in the mud, you played with monkeys, you scolded the children, and you drank alcohol. Is that right? Well, thank God for the influence. I mean the influence you really were to provide the water and all the things that you that the ministry does provide and the funds that from the purchases. May God bless the people there, and we will continue to pray for them. And that's the Ruani, right?
Right.
Ruani? Yeah, good. I'm going to just take a minute, because that's really not much time, and just share a personal note about where I've been this week. Like most of you, I am extremely concerned about our country, really about our world. There is so much to pray for, to pray about, starting with the Afghanistan issue, the loss of lives, not only the 12 Americans, but also the hundred or more of the Afghans, and who knows what else is going to happen. When I think of the difficulty with murderous people taking over Afghanistan, it reminds me of the whole world and the condition that we're stepping into. And I kind of picture it like the mud. I'm not sure we're going to get out of it, you know. And I want to confess to you that I worried this week a lot. And each time that I got to a certain level of concern, I was reminded, thankfully, by the Spirit that the thing we do is pray. We don't stay anxious. We take whatever anxiety reminds us of and moves us to and take it to the Lord in prayer. And I suspect some of you are a little worried about the world's condition, our nation's condition. And I just want to encourage you to take it to the Lord, to pray to Him. That's not going to take away your worry. Well, it will, too. The promise of Philippians 4 is that He will give you the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's where I'm going. We need to keep our hearts and minds in the Lord to see the big picture, the ultimate picture, and just continue to ask the Lord, what are we to do? We know we're to pray. We know we are to be concerned. And we know we're to give it over to God. But the message that I prepared, which I don't know, may take 4 weeks to do the whole thing, because I'm mindful of the time, and I'll start it next week. What will we do as a nation as forces come to bear that are going to destroy, seek to destroy, democracy as we know it, to infiltrate and poison the most cherished of things, which not only freedoms, but also our families, the indoctrination of our children, the loss of the freedoms, and the oppression that can and probably will come. And here's where I am, and I think you are too, to pray that God will give the church strength and wisdom to be in this season who we need to be and what we need to be. And that's what my message is going to be about, strengthening the things that matter, keeping the situation in prayer, and strengthening ourselves. We're going to need strong bones of faith to withstand what is coming. I mean, I've been saying this, and I know I sound like a real pessimist, but frankly, I just think we'd be fools not to be thinking of these things in advance. But what it is that I think God is doing for us in the midst of this is, first of all, causing us to pray and to seek his face, but also then to strengthen the body of Christ and our families and to learn to lean on him. Because not only are we going to be defending ourselves against some of these things that are coming, and I don't want to get specific because I really don't know exactly. None of us does. But it won't be good. It won't be kingdom-like, that's for sure. But we can be strong. We can be the church because Christ said that the world will not prevail against the kingdom. And once again, I see what I see happening, and I've tried to put this into words before, is that Christian faith is getting stronger, and people are pulling together, which is real important for the church. But also, forces of evil are gathering new people, ideas, strategies. This is the work of the enemy. But the striking thing to me is that there is very little middle ground anymore. Things are black or white and no gray. So what does the church do other than our prayers and our seeking his face as the church in this kind of a setting? Church has faced persecutions and warfare and all that sort of famine and everything in the past and has become stronger. And I believe that we're to do that as well. I think our faith in Jesus Christ is going to make the church stronger. And I think we need to be prepared to be responsive to the things he leads us into. So we're going to talk about the family and the church for the next 2 weeks and or three, whatever it takes. And I want to ask you to be praying not only for the situation that we're in and that is coming, but also for the church to be strong, to be an influence to, with God's will, bring some of the people who would gravitate to the left back to the Lord. I mean, the left is the bad part. Kingdom is the good part. I wasn't speaking politically. So pray about that if you would, okay? And we'll just make that covenant with one another and be praying, and then next week we'll begin. I've got titled this, We Are Family, and we'll deal with that, okay? We have Taste of Missions. Is that upstairs here? Yeah, okay, in the back. And like Bob said, we're going to taste some of the food endemic to the people that he was visiting. Reminder to you that this is the last day to update the church directory. I wish you'd check it and make sure that all the information there is correct for you, or add or subtract anything, just write it on there. They're on the oak piece back here. Nancy says we can sign up for the ladies' Fabulous Friday. Well, not we, but the ladies can. And the Breckel Life Group begins this week. Nancy also reminds that we have a picnic coming up, and all the information's in your bulletin, of course, for that. And be praying about the startup of a new middle school life group on the 10th of this of September. So, anyway, we will go ahead and dismiss and with prayer, and keep those things in mind if you would. Bob, thank